Well, good morning, and glad you are here on a remnants of a snowy weekend, right? And just grateful that you've chosen to be here and able to be here. We knew that several probably would not be able to make it or may not want to risk getting out, and so certainly understandable. But we're glad we're able to have church this morning, worship together. And just looking forward to the day, looking forward to what the Lord has in store. So just thank you again for being here. If you're a guest looking for a church home, we'd love to connect with you. There's a few different ways. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. Our website, sbcr.org, if you're online, there's a button that says I'm new. Click that information, fill it out. We'd love to know who's worshiping with us today and how we might be able to best serve you. So just want to make you aware of a few things happening and coming up. Our Wednesday night activities are resuming. They're back in action, and the kids resumed this past Wednesday, and all of that will be back this week, including our college worship night. Our Bible study night will be back resuming this week, so looking forward to that. Also wanted to make mention, any of you that were planning to attend the women's Bible study that was set to begin tonight, we're going to postpone that a week. We have several of our ladies that maybe not feel comfortable getting out, potential to refreeze with temperature dropping tonight. So we're going to postpone that. That will begin next week. So if you have any questions or any information, if you'd still like to be a part of that, visit with Miss Brenda and she can fill you in on that. Okay, take note of the bulletin, just various activities and things that are coming up. Always a good place to try to stay connected. All right, well, let me share with you just this morning as we just begin to turn our attention and worship the Lord together from Psalm 9. And just reading this week, it was, man, the Psalms are full of all sorts of different approaches, but oftentimes just full of praise. And so Psalm 9 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I know there's not a lot of us here this morning, and I don't know what's going on in our lives, but let's declare today as we just sing, we're going to sing truth to God. We're going to sing truth about God. The Lord woke us up this morning, gave us breath in our lungs, and let's use it to glorify Him together, all right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to worship the Lord together, all right? So let's pray. Jesus, you're good, and we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. And Lord, I pray that in all that we say and do today, that God, you would be glorified. Lord, you're worthy of our praise. God, thank you for breath in our lungs. Thank you for a sound mind. Thank you for a warm facility to gather together and worship you. For technology, all the things, God. We're just grateful for how you work. And so, God, this morning I pray we would worship you both in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I pray that God, you would manifest yourself among us. God, I pray that it be evident the Holy Spirit would be here, would speak to each one of us. God, you be glorified in all things. And we love you and we praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you would join me in standing.
Praise me wherever that silence soothes the enemy. Let praise me wherever that conquers all anxiety. Let it arise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and claim your victory. Let it arise, let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. My fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. me. Let it rise. Let faith arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. My fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lifted high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. My fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lifted high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me. All my fears, failures. Fill my life. My life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. Rose and conquer the grave. Jesus conquer the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Mighty to save forever.
Tongue can bid me thence deep.
Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because a sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the justice satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable one with himself. I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is sealed with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is sealed with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the Gospel of John? Gospel of John, chapter 7. We are going to begin in verse 14. And let me just make a few remarks, if I can, before we begin and jump into today's message and the text. First of all, just grateful for a friend of mine, Dusty Wright, who filled the pulpit last week. And anyway, he sent me a message last night, said, "Hey, praying for you tomorrow as you get back, and hope I didn't make too much of a mess." And I said, "Well, they probably didn't recognize any difference." So anyway, grateful for him coming and preaching and serving, and grateful for his continued ministry at First Baptist Danville and good strong church there and Pastor Daniel Morris and grateful for that. Also, let me mention this morning and just give a word of thanks to Matt. Matt has been leading us in an interim capacity, if you will, for a little over a year now. Brother Al Ray retired and Matt stepped in, and he had been helping us with college ministry, and he stepped in and has been so faithful to serve. And so, Matt, I just want to say thank you. Today is Matt's last Sunday leading us in worship, and the Lord's doing some things in their family. He and Kaylin, so be praying for them. So just really grateful, brother, that you came and have served in the way that you have and really humbled by your faithfulness and consistency. Matt was a wee young little man when I first met him back at First Baptist Branch, and his older siblings were in the youth whenever I was there. He wasn't quite tall enough to get in just yet, but he overcame that. So grateful for his time of service here, and we really appreciate you and Kaylin, the sacrifice, and know that it's not easy, and so really just been blessed by you. So as you have an opportunity, make sure to express your appreciation for them and for Matt serving in this way. And let me just say, we continue to search for whoever the next man of God that God has for this position, this time, every resource, every pastor, every person I reach out to, looking for leads or whatever the case may be, everybody's telling me the same. Number one, everybody's looking. And two, it's really hard to find people right now. And so, but this is what you and I both know to be true. God has whoever it is that's supposed to be here. They're out there. Their Lord is preparing them. And so just continue to pray and trust God to send whoever it may be, whoever's next. And so just a personal word of just kind of give you an idea that over the next several weeks, we're going to have some different folks filling in. Pastor Jay, Jared Ham, everybody calls him Jay, but Jared Ham will be, he was at First Baptist Russellville for quite a while, but then has now planted Cowboy Church here in the area, and he and several of his folks are going to come and lead us the next couple weeks, and so we'll just have some different folks coming in. We're going to try to make it as consistent as we can. But I hope and pray that you'll just bear with us through that and be praying about whoever God might raise up for the next person. And so anyway, so Matt, thank you. Sure appreciate you. Thank God for you. All right, we're going to be in John chapter 7 in just a moment, and we're going to read through beginning in verse 14. And let me just sort of catch us up. It's been a minute. I typically preach through books of the Bible and verse by verse, chapter by chapter, but we hit a pretty big pause button on John with Thanksgiving, then led into some special things for Christmas. And so here we are. But let me just remind you, in John chapter 7, the beginning of verse 7, Jesus has been going around doing ministry. And now here he is. He's back close to Jerusalem, and the festival of booths, this feast is taking place. And some of the religious leaders say, hey, this is a great time. Some of his people following around, this is a great time. Go in. Everybody's going to be there. You can announce, you know, that you're a big deal and all this sort of thing. And this is a great opportunity for you. But we talked about that it was not yet Jesus' time. That's what he says. And now he winds up, we're going to even see in our text that he is there in the city. He's in the area. He's in the temple during that time. But he did not make this big prophetic entrance into during this time of feast because, number one, it wasn't the right feast. He comes during the Feast of the Passover, not the Feast of the Booths or the Feast of the Tabernacles. But rather, he slips in here. There's still more ministry, still more things for him to do. And so he has slipped into this area, and he is now in the temple, and we're going to pick up, and he's going to be teaching, and we're going to look at this text together. So John chapter 7, beginning in verse 14, if you found your place and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? The Bible says, now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak from my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own authority, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keep the law? Why do you seek to kill me? Verse 20. The people answered and said, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work, and you all marvel. Moses, therefore, gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. God, I thank you for the truth of your word. I pray now you would speak to us. God, I pray that you would hide me behind your cross, fill me with your spirit, give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. So I want to preach to you this message I've titled, Righteousness Reigns. Righteousness Reigns. And if you're following along, taking notes, and look here, the main idea of the text is this. The righteousness of God must reign in our lives without restriction. The righteousness of God must reign in our lives without restriction, without any bounds, without any caveats to it. It has to have total freedom to reign in our lives. It has to permeate every aspect of our lives. So the question of the text is this morning. Are you consistent in living out God's standards in your lives? Are you consistent? Are we guilty at times of categorizing parts of our lives or compartmentalizing? Saying, hey, Jesus is good for us in the workplace, maybe not so much at home. Jesus is good in the home, not in the workplace. Jesus is good on Sunday when I'm with my family and around the table and at church and all that, but Jesus isn't so good for me whenever I'm inside the lines. And so, are you consistent in living out God's standards? There's four truths I want us to see from this text, and there's this interaction that takes place, and I want you to see that Jesus, that some of the religious leaders are still angry. They're angry at some of the works that he's doing. They're angry at some of the things that he's doing. They're impressed, but there's this tension, right? And this tension is taking place. But Jesus has found himself in the temple, and he is teaching. And so there are four truths I want us to see. Number one, righteousness reigns through his word. Righteousness reigns through his word. Notice the text in verse 14 and 15. Now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. This wasn't uncommon. It wasn't uncommon for Jesus. It wasn't uncommon for religious leaders, some of the Jewish rabbis, when they visited an area or whatever the case may be. It was not uncommon for somebody who had some knowledge, who had wisdom to go and to teach. And so that's what Jesus does. And notice verse 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters having never studied? Because there was such a structure about at a certain age, a man would turn and he'd be sent off or he'd be set under to study under a rabbi or somebody that was going to teach him all that they need to know and all this school of learning and knowing the scripture, knowing the word of God. And so here they were. They knew that Jesus, because of his background, they knew enough about him to know that he had not had that formal education. He had not went and sat under the rabbis and had this sort of teaching. But here's what's interesting is that as they listen to him and they're sitting under his teaching, they recognize that there's some authority by which he's speaking. And not just authority, but there's some expertise that they were not accustomed to. They had not realized. And so they're sitting around going, man, how in the world? How does he know this? How does he know Isaiah? How does he know Zechariah? How does he know about the law and Moses and all these things that are going on? Because there was a certain level of knowledge that an individual might have, a young man or a young woman might have as growing up, of being a good Jewish home, that there was some memorization of the scripture and some of that stuff. But there's something beyond what that is here when Jesus is teaching. This is not just a common man's knowledge is what they're recognizing. Now, for us, it's easy to see, well, of course, it's Jesus, right? Of course, I mean, it's Jesus. He speaks, and it comes out in red, right? I mean, that's what we know. Okay, fine. That's how it's going to be today, all right? I mean, goodness gracious, you can't help me a little, all right? I mean, you ought to have cabin fever and fired up to be here, right? But here he is. He's speaking with authority, but he's speaking from the Word of God. Notice what they say in verse 15. The question is, the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters having never studied? It's fascinating to me that here Jesus is. He is speaking to the religious of the religious. He's speaking to the church crowd. And he is not just pontificating. He's not just talking about random things, or he's not even introducing new ideas. But what's he doing? He is taking the Word of God. He's taking the letters of the Old Testament, that scripture, and he is teaching them based on that. And dear friends, I think it's an important reality for us to take note of today. there's a lot of new teaching. There's a lot of things out there to learn and to study. But the whole idea of today's message is that righteousness must reign in every aspect of our life. And let me tell you where righteousness begins. First, with a saving relationship with Jesus. You can't, there's no righteousness apart from Christ, period. Right? I mean, we just sang before the throne of God, a strong and perfect plea. Man, what an incredible lyric. It says that God looked on him and pardoned me. Man, why? Because Jesus takes all our past, present, future sin and lays, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's no righteousness apart from Jesus. But for every person, every one of us have a saving relationship with Jesus. How's that righteousness fleshed out? How's that going to be lived out? It begins with the Scripture. It begins with the Word of God. And when at the end of 2024, that last Sunday we had together, man, I'm encouraged you, put before you a reading plan. And I told you, it's not about reading this specific plan. It's not about reading the Bible through the year, but it's the importance of daily intake of the Word of God. You and I need more intake of the Scripture and not less. It's the Word of God that transforms lives. Jesus is here. He could be teaching. He could be sharing. He could take anything in the world and be teaching these religious leaders, and it would be true. It would be right. But he takes the Word of God. He takes the letters of Scripture and expounds on them, teaches on them. You and I, if we're going to have any sort of righteousness in our lives, if we're going to make any sort of impact in this world, it's going to be based on the wisdom that is found in the Word of God. It's vital to our walk with the Lord. It's vital to who we are in Christ. Psalm 119 says this, says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Daily intake, studying the Word of God. And let me just say this, if the only Bible intake you get is Sunday morning through Sunday school, Sunday morning preaching, Wednesday night, you're malnourished. You are not being edified. You're not getting enough substance for you to grow the way that Christ wants you to grow. You need more. And you need that daily intake of studying, reading, digging into the Word of God. I told you before that the first sermon I ever preached at First Baptist Branch, nervous as could be, and I'm sure, I thank God there was not any video or audio recording of that. There's no physical evidence of that, because I realize some of you think, man, this is really bad. Well, it gets worse, I promise you, okay? This is improved, all right? But I get done preaching that first sermon on Sunday night, First Baptist Branch. People had said a lot of nice things. You know, people in church will lie to you, right? I mean, I don't know if you know this, but they'll flatfoot lie to you, okay? So they came by and they lied. They talked about how good it was. I was there. It wasn't, all right? But get done, and there's a elderly lady, just two, is old. The First Baptist Branch is kind of the old shotgun style, real long, narrow church. And so two sets of pews on either side, and about halfway back, close to where Matt's sitting, is an elderly lady, Miss Mamie Vest. And she waited. Almost everybody had cleared out. And so I went over. I was going to go hug Miss Mamie's Vest and just thank you. She was a praying saint, one of those, man, incredibly sweet. You knew she just, when she prayed, you wanted her to pray for you because you knew God heard those prayers, right? So I went to hug her neck, and before I get to her, before I could hug her, she got right in front of me. Chris, let me tell you something. Yes, ma'am. She said, if you're going to preach, Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. She said, if you're going to preach, you better memorize the Word of God and hide it in your heart. If you're going to be a good preacher, you better memorize the Scripture. And I'm telling you right now, it was one of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten when it came to ministry. I'm telling you, friend, the Word of God changes our lives. daily intake of the Word of God changes your life in a way that you and I can't measure. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Most of us are very familiar with verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The King James Old Language says perfect. You can't be what Christ wants you to be without the Scripture, without the regular reading and studying of the Word of God. And it's the daily grind that you become more and more and more like Jesus. So here Jesus is. He's teaching in the temple. Could be teaching anything. What's he teaching? He's teaching the Word of God. Why? Because he knew that's what they needed. And he knew that has power to change lives. And you and I need the same. We need the Word of God. So righteousness reigns through his Word. Number two, righteousness reigns through the author. Through the author. Notice verse 16 and 17. So there they are, verse 15, they don't know whether they say it out loud, whether he can hear it or not, doesn't seem like he can, but Jesus knew. He knew they're questioning all of those things, right? Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, look at this, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He is challenging them. He's saying, hey, listen, you're impressed. You're enamored. You're over there trying to figure out, man, how does he know all this? How does he know that much? And so on and so forth. And what Jesus makes clear here is again and again, he does this throughout his life and ministry. He's saying, I'm not teaching just on my own authority. I'm not just teaching on my own going out. Now listen, can he or could he? Absolutely. Right? He's the Son of God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He is God in and of himself. But what Jesus consistently does is he points to the authority of God the Father that he's in. He's submitting himself to that authority. And so he says, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me, that I'm from the Father. If anyone wills to do his will, that is the Father's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. Jesus does this in John chapter 12 and verse 29. He says, for I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. John 14, 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father with me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So what's Jesus doing? He's saying, look, I'm sent. I'm sent from God the Father. I'm here serving. The righteousness I'm demonstrating comes under the authority and the sending of God the Father. And so this is an example for you and I, that is, you and I have a saving relationship with Jesus. You and I spend time in the Word, that we ought to live in such a way that we're living under the authority of God the Father. That there is one that reigns, there is one that is supreme, there is one that is King of kings and Lord of lords, that he's the great I am and the good shepherd. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There is a God in heaven that we serve. Man, it's fascinating to me that you talk to folks, and particularly men are extra guilty of this, of, well, you know, talk to them about careers and all these sort of things, and you have these guys that come and they brag or boast about, I work for myself. I don't work for anybody. I work for myself. And men, we want to boast. We want to get to that point maybe where we work for ourselves. I'm my own boss. Nobody going to tell me what to do. Yeah. Okay. Right? I've never met anybody who worked for themselves that really worked for themselves. They're working for somebody else. It just, they may not be there on the farm overlooking their shoulder, right? All driven by something. Shame is true in every everyday life. We think sometimes we're going to go through life and I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to be my own person. I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. Friend, you're serving somebody. You're serving somebody. You're even serving the God of all creation, or you're serving the God of this world. And whether you want to admit that or not, that's fine. There are two teams. There are two teams. There's not three. There's not more than three. There are two. So what uniform do you have on? What coach are you playing for? What boss are you serving? And so Jesus is here going, hey, y'all are impressed by this. You're just, my. Look, how does he know all this? And Jesus is consistently pointing, saying, man, it's not my authority. It's the authority of the Father. He's pointing to the glory of God. Right, it's what we're told in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. You don't have this in your notes, but let your light so shine before men that why? That they may see your good works. Why is it important to see that? He says that they may, that you may glorify God in heaven. And you and I don't serve God so that everybody will pat us on the back and, man, look at them and write a book about us and all that. We do it because God's worthy. And we live and we serve under the authority that God has sent us. Look real quickly at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Righteousness reigns. It's going to reign in our lives. We're living under the authority of God. If you look at verse 18, I'll read a few verses here. We don't have these on the screen. I'm sorry. You may just jot these down. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Look at this. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, but has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we have the ministry of reconciliation going and helping people to get right, share the gospel, reconciliation, get right with God. We have the word of reconciliation. That's the tool. But notice verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is somebody that is sent out under the authority of the king to serve at the pleasure of the king for the purposes of the king. And he says, you and I are ambassadors. So if righteousness is going to reign, this is in the context of ministry of reconciliation, using the word of God for reconciliation. And he says, we are ambassadors. We are sent out. So if righteousness is going to reign, we got to know the word of God. Spend time in the word of God. Let it transform our lives. And then we got to understand we are men, women, boys, and girls under authority. And we are to serve at the pleasure of the king. We are to serve at the God of all creation. So, number one, righteousness reigns through his word. Number two, righteousness reigns through the author. Number three, righteousness reigns through our lives. Notice verse 17 and 18. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it's from God or whether I speak of my own authority. Verse 18, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. He's saying, look, an individual's life is going to, it's going to be revealing about who they are, what they care about, what's important to them. What you do, how you live your life is going to reflect who you serve. And so there's no such thing as living one way or speaking one way or pledging your allegiance one way and living a different way and that lining up with the scripture, that lining up with the Lord. And we've got to be the same people that we claim to be on Sunday every other day of the week. And so our lives ought to reflect this gospel that we so sing about, we hold so dearly, that we are so excited about him changing our lives. Well, did he? Did he really change our lives? Did he really save you? Did he? And if he did, man, that ought to reflect out. That ought to flesh its way out in our everyday lives. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Notice this, that I'm not called to keep his commandments to try to earn salvation, to try to earn his love. No, that's why he sent his son Jesus. He knew that I couldn't keep those. He knew that I would break those, and to break them at one point is to break all of them, is what 1 John says. But if I break these commandments, Jesus came, lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross so that I could have salvation. But because I am saved, I'm not trying to live in a way that's righteous to earn salvation, but I'm telling you, I'm trying to live in a righteous way because I am saved. There's a big difference between those two. So you and I live for the glory of God out of the fruit of our salvation, out of the working of our salvation, not trying to earn His salvation. But know this, because I am saved, does not mean I get the freedom to live any way that I want to live. It does not mean I have a license to go and do whatever it is I want to do. Because the day that you surrendered your life to Jesus, you made Him Lord and boss and master. You invited Him in to be master of your life, boss. You submitted, surrendered yourself to Him. It means you live, should live under His authority. And our life ought to reflect that. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. See, this is why a lost world doesn't understand. This is why a lost world sometimes says, man, how can you be a Christian? How can you believe or read, follow the Bible? Because it's just nothing but a bunch of rules. It's not a bunch of thou shalt's or thou shalt not's and all that kind of thing. And a person that doesn't know Christ doesn't understand this. And I'm not following the Scripture because I'm trying to earn favor with God. I'm not trying to follow these things because, I'm trying to earn something from Him. But rather, because Jesus changed our lives, we want to live in a way that is pleasing and honoring to Him. He says if you keep His commandments, His commandments are not burdensome. Let me just say to you now, and I realize this is the cream of the crop this morning, right? And you endured the 18 inches of snow or whatever it is we got, right? And got out and here at church, cold, all that sort of thing. But can I just say to you that if living for Jesus is a burden to you, let me encourage you to examine your heart for salvation. And if you'd say, Pastor, I know that I know, then and we need to examine our heart because we've gotten far from Him. Because I don't read about, I don't hear testimonies of people who deeply, deeply following and in love with Christ, that it's a burden to live in a way that He desires for us to live. He says, those who speak, those who do from their own authority, it's going to be evident. But the life and ministry of Jesus consistently pointed back to God the Father to seek and bring glory to Him. So righteousness begins at His Word. Righteousness understands there's an authority, that we're living under the lordship of Christ in our everyday life. But then also righteousness has to flesh its way out. It ought to be evident in our everyday lives. What is your work? What is your employment life like? Man, how are you seeking to glorify Christ? Men, how are you treating your spouse? How are you treating others? Man, don't you dare gather around the table and pray with your family. And then speak to your wife like she's a dog. That's not of God. When you get in competition or you get... And listen, you understand. I'm talking about habitual in it sin. I mean, I realize we're all human. We're not Jesus. And there's going to be some moments where we struggle, there's no doubt. But righteousness of Christ ought to flesh its way out. It ought to be evident in our life that you walk with Jesus. There's something different about you. Not so that everybody would come and say, man, look at a great man you are. Look at a great woman you are. Look at a great... But because he's worthy. He is worthy for us to live in a way that brings honor and glory to his name. So righteousness must reign through our life. Then number four, we'll be done. Righteousness reigns without hypocrisy. Righteousness reigns without hypocrisy. Verse 19 through 24. Now it gets tough, right? We've been pretty easy here. So here's verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keep the law. Why do you seek to kill me? The people answered and said, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it's from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives a circumcision on the Sabbath, so the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So Jesus is here. He's calling them to the carpet. He is calling them out. That some of them, we've already seen this, they have so much hatred, they're so angry at, because Jesus is this Messiah that they did not expect, that they quite frankly did not want. They wanted him to come and be this super king, overthrow the Romans, put themselves in the right place of political standing, and they were good. They didn't understand their deeper need, but here Jesus is doing this, and man, they're just flat-footed, angry at him. And some of them seeking to kill him. And so Jesus is just calling them out. Saying, look, you don't even keep Moses' law. Moses was the top dude in their eyes. He was the goat, if you will. And going, man, we try to do everything that Moses tells us to do. And it was stirred up anger in them. And so then he confronts them. Of course, then they try to deny it. But then ultimately, here's what it comes down to, is Jesus says, when it's the appropriate time for a baby or a young man to be circumcised, it does not matter what day of the week it is, you'll do it, you'll fulfill it. Even though you have the same command, keep the Sabbath holy, but yet this day of the week falls there and you're going to do this circumcision. So that here they are, they're in right standing, they're in a place of blessing in the eyes of God. However, Jesus says, I come and there's a man that needs to be healed. There's somebody that needs healing, the blind needs sight, the paralyzed need healing. And I do that on the Sabbath and you're mad at me and you want to kill me because I've broken the law. And there's no regard for the intent and the purpose in what God has given in His law. And He confronts them and He says, don't judge according to appearance. He said, stop looking at the outward, but start judging with righteousness. What is right? What is good? What is God honoring? And dear friends, there's a lot we may need in 2025, but one of the things we need is we got to be really careful, because it is really easy to fall into a place of hypocrisy. Although we never talk about it this way, because what you and I are guilty of doing is we are guilty of taking what sins we may struggle with and we place them in a nice little cozy corner and say, those aren't that bad. But then we take everybody else's sins and we put them in a corner and we say, how wicked and vile and disgusting. How could they say they love God? And dear friends, hypocrisy is as prevalent in the church as it is in any other place in the world. The sweetest saints I've ever met are in the church. The most hypocritical people I've ever met are in the church. Dear friends, we got to be really careful, because it is not Christ honoring. He says, don't judge with outward appearance, but judge with a righteous judgment. We need to be very careful what we look to condemn while we put our stamp of approval over here on the things that we're doing, the areas we're struggling in, the areas we're back, all this junk in our lives, we keep going back to, we're putting our approval on it, but these areas, how dare they? So, hypocrisy has to be guarded, has to be fought against. Proverbs 24:23, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality with judgment. It says, don't be a hypocrite. My brethren, James 2:1, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Friends, we're in the same battle together. We're in the fight. Your sins look a little different than mine. And we both need the Lord. We both need the favor of God, the grace and mercy of God. Regardless if we like a little different music, regardless if we got opinions about whether we should eat out on Sunday or not eat out, regardless of what's going on in the ball field or not going on, we need the grace and mercy of God. And the righteousness comes from the Word. It comes from living, understanding that I'm not boss, He is. And just living it out in everyday life. Every aspect, every day of our lives. And so, dear friend, the question remains. Are you consistent in living out God's standards? Yes, we're going to struggle. Yes, we're going to hardships. But maybe you've been guilty of being hypocritical. Maybe you've been guilty of looking down on others because their sin looks a little different than yours. And I'm telling you, God's not within a mile of that stuff. If we'll seek His forgiveness, we'll repent from those things and walk back closer with Him. I just want to encourage you, if you're not spending time daily in the Word, find a plan, do something, get in the Word every day. Find an accountability partner to get in the Word every single day. I don't care whether you're reading the Bible in a year or not. I think it's great. That's what I'd encourage you to do. But I'd rather you spend time, read a chapter every day and do that consistently rather than live under the burden of trying to read six every day and not doing it and feeling guilty. Well, I didn't do it today, so I'm just not going to read something. Read the Scripture every day. Seek to live for the glory of God, and He'll use you in your ways you never imagined. And it begins with a saving relationship with Jesus. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, today is a day of salvation. Here in a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to invite others, if you want to come and just pray at this altar, spend time just focusing on the Lord, focusing on your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you need to pray for others. But some of you maybe never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. Let today be the day of salvation. Call out to Him. Surrender to Him. The Bible says God will save you. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord Jesus will save you if you'll call out to Him. So I'm going to ask, if you will, if you'll just bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. And if that's you, say, Pastor Chris, I need to be saved today. You just pray right where you're at. Ask God to save you, forgive you of your sins, and be the boss and master of your life. It's not about words of a prayer, it's the attitude of your heart. If you're broken over your sin, you recognize that you have a need and you need Jesus, and He can save you. Just a moment, I'll lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer. Understand this, words of a prayer have never saved anybody. It's the attitude of your heart. Repeating some words won't save you any more than making a snow angel. But if your heart's desire is to repent and place your faith and trust in Him, you just don't know what to say, you don't know how to communicate that, then this may help you. But you can pray in your own words right where you're at. But you may pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sins. be the boss of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll be what you want me to be. Help me to live for you. I give my life to you totally and freely and without reservation. I turn from all my sin and I turn to you. I ask you to save me. You made an attitude of prayer in just a moment. I'm going to begin to pray. And as I begin to pray, you're invited. I'm going to invite you to stand in just a moment. We're going to have a time of response. If you want to come and pray at the front, you're welcome to do that. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. But we're just going to take a few minutes and respond to the Word of God this morning. So let's pray. God in heaven, I thank you for today. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your Word. I pray, God, that you would move in the next few moments. I pray if there's anybody here lost, need to be saved, I pray you give boldness to come. God, I pray for every believer here, God, if you spoke to us, you stirred our heart, help us to respond to you. Help us to live in a way that's obedient to you. God, move in these next few moments, I pray in Jesus' name. You main attitude of prayer, but if you'll stand with me, and let's stand together. And if you want to come and pray, you're welcome to come and pray. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. But take just a few moments here and reflect on how God challenged your heart, how the Lord maybe spoke to you this morning.
Paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died. Paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one. And raise his life up.
to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to ask our men if they'll begin to take the place so that we can receive the offering as we leave today. And we just do it this way. It's just an opportunity for us to give as we go, continue to worship as we go. We believe giving is a part of worship. And so grateful for the opportunity of all the technology, all the different things, but this may be your preference to give in person. And so if you'd like to do that, you're certainly welcome to. We don't want anybody to feel obligated to do that. That's between you and the Lord. It's an important aspect of our walk with the Lord. If you're a guest, again, thank you so much for being here. We're grateful that you chose to worship with us today. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you back. And so, anyway, let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we will be dismissed. God in heaven, you're good and gracious and kind. Thank you for today. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word. I pray, God, you'd help us to go and live in a way that brings honor and glory to the name of Jesus. God, I pray that we would give in a way today that glorifies you. And protect us from travel home. Help us to be a witness for you this week. We love you and praise you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.